word, didn't he? And you guys have got some of the best sons of the house right here. Amen? We are so blessed right here, Victory Life, Central Texas, Brownwood, man. I'm so glad that you're here tonight. If you're visiting with us, I'm Pastor Stan. Welcome to our Wednesday night midweek service. Woo! We're kicking off Jubilee, this starting tomorrow night, but we might as well gear up for it tonight, right? Come on. And listen, I felt like I had a word from the Lord tonight, but it's a word from the Lord to someone here who got a word for someone else. Now, that's a little bit different. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to encourage you, as God spoke into your heart, to encourage someone else with something that you felt like the Lord is telling you. And if that's you, I want to encourage you, go and after service, share that with them, encourage them with that word, and because it can bless them, it should encourage them, comfort them, lift them up. And then when you do, I want to know that you did it. I felt like the Lord told me to do that, said, you come, let me know that you were obedient to the Lord because you're learning and you're growing in the giftings of the Lord as the Holy Spirit would lead you to speak into the lives of other people. So anyway, if that's you, be encouraged. Don't be afraid. Go share that with someone. Just encourage them with what the Lord has laid on your heart. So we are going into Jubilee. And, some of you may be new to the church, and we've been part of the church since 2000, and even on before that with visiting the church, and the Jubilee times have just been phenomenal. The things that we have seen, the things that we have heard from the Lord, and I don't know how many of you have actually been in a Jubilee service. I think most of us here, some of you are new to the church, and maybe you haven't had an opportunity, and you might be looking at it like I did initially. You know, we had a young lady that was part. We've always had life groups, Kathy and I. We've always had groups in our home. And we had a group in our home when we weren't part of Victory Life. And we had a young lady that was coming to our home group. We had two or three people that actually were members of Victory Life, coming to find out. And this one young lady, man, I love her to this day. And if she didn't have a dad, I would adopt her. I mean, I just love her. And she would just get all excited about Jubilee coming up. And she just, man, said, I'm saving my money, I'm saving my vacation time, and I'm saving my money. Because back then, a lot of the speakers would come, and they'd sell their goods, you know, their books and their CDs. And I think it's probably cassettes back then. But anyway, that's way back. So they would sell these, and she was taking vacation time to go to Jubilee all week long. Because it would start, you know, all through the week. And I thought, have you lost your mind? You know, I'm thinking, you take vacation to go to like Colorado or somewhere, you know, and something like that. But then after the first Jubilee, I thought, okay, I get it. Man, this is over the top. This is worth taking the time to come and seek God and hear God. And it's been a wonderful time. Now, so I wanted to share some things with you tonight in preparing for Jubilee. First of all, I want to read a definition for you. Just give you some background about Jubilee. What it's about, maybe where it came from is some of our thought processes, I believe that it came from. But it says this as far as the definition. It's a year-long period to be observed by the Jews once every 50 years, during which Jewish slaves were to be freed, alienated lands to be restored to the original owner of an heir, the fields were to be left untilled, and all agricultural labors were to be suspended. In other words, he said you didn't have to go do all this work on the land because God was going to multiply and increase the product, the crops, so that you could sustain on those for two or three years. You go ahead and plant your crop the next year, wait for the harvest. But see, God was multiplying so that it would last through those few years. And man, it was a time of celebration. Can you imagine your family land that you've had in your family that you either had to give up for a debt that you owed or whatever, you know, but after 50 years, it came back into your family. Or you could, in that 50-year period, you could purchase it back if you were able to, but after 50 years, it came back into your family. And or you're an heir, maybe you were already gone to be with the Lord, but it would come back. That was an extreme celebration. And those who were, when it talked about slaves that were gone to debtor's prison or whatever to pay off a debt or something, it was a year of Jubilee because they were set free. It was a year of freedom of the captives. It was free, you know, from the slaves and that sort of thing. Man, it was awesome. Now, another definition is any season or occasion of rejoicing or festivity. We've adopted that for our year-to-year celebration with the Lord, and I'll show you why here in just a moment. But in Leviticus is where you'll read a lot about it. Go to Leviticus and read around chapter 25 through 27. In that area, you'll find out more of the details, the regulations of Jubilee. But in chapter 27, verse 24, in the year of Jubilee, the field shall return to him from whom it was bought, to the one who owned the land as a possession. So it was their possession to begin with, and somewhere along the way they lost possession or control of that. Now in chapter 25, I want to see if pull out a few terms that are used here and try to relate it to our world as we move forward tonight. It said in verse 9 of chapter 25, then on the day of atonement, it's referencing it in a different light. It said in the 50th year, there again we're talking about Jubilee. Blow the ram's horn loud and long throughout the land. Set this year apart as holy, a time to proclaim freedom throughout the land for all who live there. Now, see, we look at our Jubilee as a very special time. It's a holy time to the Lord for us, a time we set apart to the Lord. We take it very seriously to be thankful to the Lord and to rejoice and to hear God's voice. It will be a Jubilee year for you when each of you may return to the land that belonged to your ancestors and return to your own clan. This 50th year will be a Jubilee for you. So the Day of Atonement is paralleling Jubilee. Y'all see the picture there? It's just referenced a little bit different. During that year, you must not, and it goes on to talk about not planting your fields, but look down in verse 12 again. It will be a Jubilee year for you, and you must keep it holy. But you may eat whatever the land produces on its own. In the year of Jubilee, each of you may return to the land that belongeth to your ancestors. So, you know, you think, well, what does this have to do with me today? What does it have to do with me and my household or my personal life? But it's saying here in verse 23, the land must never be sold on a permanent basis, for the land belongs to me, the Lord says. You are only foreigners and tenant farmers working for me. And I'm thinking, that is so relating to my life. My life is of the Lord. I wouldn't have a life if it weren't for God. This life, the world I live in today, is not my home. I'm just living here. I'm in this body that God has given me. I'm just a tenant of this body. I'm just given oversight of this body, but it actually belongs to the Lord. So all these things are going off in my head. Are they doing that with y'all? He said, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to me. And so I want to try to go to Luke, the fourth chapter, and say, okay, let's make the connection to you and I through, and the connection is made through Jesus. Look in Luke, the fourth chapter. We're reading over now in the New Testament. That was Old Testament law, Old Testament rituals and regulations and freedom and all that. But look in chapter 4, verse 18, where Jesus, he went into the temple, he took out the word of God, he opened it up to Scripture, and he began to read this. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That is referencing back to Isaiah 61. I know Pastor Craig says Isaiah. Well, y'all just have to get used to that, okay? It's still Isaiah to me. It's Isaiah to South African, I guess. But here's the same scripture reference that Isaiah was saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Look at verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He's talking about a Jubilee year. He's talking about a year of freedom. A year that should be celebrated. The horn should be blown throughout the land and throughout your area and your life. That this is a day of liberation. It's a day of return to the Lord. It's a day of freedom, of being healed. And if you've been captivated, if you've been felt like even an innocent casualty of war and you're locked up in bondage, that God brings freedom to your life. And Leviticus 25, again, verse 9, then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month on the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all of your land. You shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all of the land to all of its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. When I look in the Old Testament, what I see is so many types and shadows of what's to come. When you look at the Old Testament, you see types and shadows of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see types and shadows of redemption. You see types and shadows of God's plan for humankind. And that's what I'm seeing in Jubilee. Because it says here that he said the Day of Atonement. So I'm thinking, okay, Lord, what does that say to me? I go back over to the New Testament, Romans 3, 25. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement. He paid a price you and I couldn't pay. I couldn't buy back my soul. I couldn't buy back my possession, my land. But he made atonement for that. He paid the price, the sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his own blood. What's the definition of atonement? The doctrine concerning the reconciliation of God and humankind, especially as accomplished through the life, suffering, and death of Christ. So when you look at Jubilee, I mean, I'm copying Pastor Joey there. I'm using it and saying it's mine after tonight, okay? But he brought it to my mind. It's like Jesus in Luke 4, when he's reading from Isaiah, he's basically saying, I am Jubilee. I am Jubilee. I am the freeing of the slaves. I am the returning to what God promised you. I am the one that's made a way for you to get it all back. I am your Jubilee. I am the thing that you should be blowing the horn for and telling everybody and saying, I am free, praise God. God brought me back to who he intended me to be to begin with. God returned my possessions of authority over the devil and over this world. Oh, praise God. Jesus is Jubilee to us. Oh, praise God. In him, we have been atoned for our sin, and we have returned to our original standing in God. Oh, praise God. Our original possessions in God. And I'm saying to you tonight, man, and there may be people tuning in tonight. You just stumbled on this on our service tonight. But listen, you give your life to Jesus, and suddenly he becomes your Jubilee. There's your time of freedom. The anointing of God will set you free, cleanse you from your sin, redeem you, buy you back, free you up from all this captivity and judgment and pain and all of that. Jesus is your Jubilee. Oh, praise God. And you know what happens when you have Jubilee happen to you? You want to sound the trumpet. Man, I want to tell everybody. I want to tell everybody about the Jubilee I found in Jesus Christ. Were y'all that away? I mean, man. When I found out that Jesus really was real, he wasn't a myth or a fable, and I suddenly had the freedom in my heart and the life that came into my soul, man, I wanted to tell everybody. And I just was overzealous. Man, I was just crazy zealous for the Lord. And you need to hang on to that zeal, because the moment that someone gives their life to Jesus, they will experience Jubilee in their own lives, freedom from the bondage, freedom from the pain, the torment, and all the things that go back to what God created him to begin with. Oh, praise God. Praise God. So in John, the 10th chapter, I want to take you there. So, you know, I look at people that, I don't know about in the church world, but maybe so, some in the church world, that people have been so long lost in their world and lost in the world that they've even forgotten what their inheritance is. They have forgotten about what God did for them, what God provided for them. And so many people, their heritage wasn't passed on. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? And people are coming in and realizing, wait a minute, you mean I have a Jubilee? Jubilee to what? What has God done for me? What has God provided for me? What is it that actually belongs to me? Now, in John, the 10th chapter, it says to him, in verse 3, to him, the doorkeeper, to him being Jesus, God's the doorkeeper. And it says that God opens the door to the shepherd, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when I read that, now, we're going into Jubilee. And when I read that I am one of his sheep, when I pray for you, I say, God, these are your sheep, not mine. These are your heritage, not mine. Because that's who we belong to, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our shepherd, and we belong to God, right? Right? But when I read that, it's saying that I recognize his voice when he speaks to me. And he leads me out, and I follow him. So what I believe, this is what I gather from that, is I have a blood-bought, God-given right to hear the voice of God. And for Jesus to lead me in my life, to lead me. Now, I don't know. I hope that you are going into these few days and you're coming in with an expectancy that I'm going to hear God's voice. I'm going to hear God's voice. I'm believing that he's going to speak into my heart. I'm believing that I have my heart prepared. And see, with expectancy, you've got to prepare for it. You've got to prepare to hear God's voice. You've got to look for his voice. Because you're not going to see it if you're not looking for it. Have y'all ever noticed that? That's me, Jess. That's me, no. Have you ever gone to the beach and the kids come back and they find, I've heard stories, I've read stories about this in Reader's Digest. And I go to places and maybe I go up on the mountains and I find a seashell. Or my kids find a seashell and bring it to me. Hey, I got a, you didn't find that up here. There ain't no sea up here in the mountains. Oh, yes, there is. Go up there and you look everywhere and there's all kinds of little bitty seashells. Have y'all ever done that? Yeah. Or go down on the beach and your kid comes up with a shark's tooth. I found a shark's tooth. There ain't no shark's teeth down here on the beach. This is Florida, you know. I mean, the people out, and you go down and start looking. When you start looking, you start, oh, my word, look at this, look at that. You don't see it because you ain't looking for it. But when the scripture right there says that you are the sheep of his pasture, he's your shepherd. How many of you tonight, Jesus is your shepherd? Amen. Oh, praise God. And if you didn't raise your hand, we can take care of that right after the service. I'll help you with that. But you have a God-given, blood-bought right to hear the voice of the shepherd. As you go into this, no matter what trials you've gone through, no matter what challenges you have been faced with, you have a God-given, blood-bought right to hear the voice of God in your life. And to have the leading. Some of you are saying, man, Lord Jesus, I need to know what I'm doing next. I need to know this. I need to know that. I need your leading. He says he'll lead you because you're his. And when he sends you out, he goes ahead of you. He's right there ahead of you. He's not leaving you in the dust, but he's right there with you. Are y'all with me? Yeah. Oh, I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God that gives me this insight of who I am and my inheritance. So the Scripture also tells me that in Timothy that God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. God's not giving me this spirit of timidity or fear. Now listen, let me stop for just a moment and just bring a little bit of insight into this. So, you know, you got to dig a little bit deeper. I have heard teachings that, and I believe there is a demonic influence that brings fear. Don't get me wrong here. Are y'all with me? Yeah. I believe that there are. I believe there's demons and demonic influence and things that we're battling with and challenged with, just like I believe there's angels. I actually believe there's a literal hell, just like there's a literal heaven, okay? But when you read this scripture, it says God's not given us a spirit of fear. That spirit of fear is an attitude of fear. But he's given us a spirit or an attitude, a mindset of power, love, and a sound, clear thinking mind. So when you go into Jubilee or you go into a time to say, God, I want to hear your voice, that timidity you're feeling, that's not from God. That fearful attitude and mindset that you've been battling with, that's not from God. See, what God has provided for you is a spirit, an attitude of power, love, and a sound, clear thinking mind. There's a lot of times that I've prayed when things seem so perplexing and things like, Lord, I got to figure this out. Man, it starts getting, have y'all ever got that? Where suddenly start getting a little bit confusing. You have to rein it in and say, no, God, I have soundness of mind. I believe I have soundness of mind to see the Word of God, to see your hand working in my life, to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, because that is my right in the kingdom as a child of God. Amen. So as you go in, a couple of scriptures that support that in Acts, the first chapter, verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. See, along with the Holy Spirit comes power, an empowerment to truly be a witness for God, a witness in your life, a witness in your attitude, a witness in your love and your strength. Are y'all with me? And then in 1 John 4, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Now listen, if you've been tormented with fear, and you're tormented with these things, what you need to do is just focus on the love of God. That's where you start. You start focusing on how much he loves you. And I'm going to love him back because he loves me so much. He loves me so much. He loves me so much that he forgives me when I goof up. He forgives me when I do a big piece of stupid, picks me up, and starts over, okay? And cleanses me from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. Oh, praise God. God is a God of love. And then we need to walk in love. And then John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There's so many more scriptures about the soundness of mind, but I think the most soundness of mind that I have is when I walk in the peace of God. That I don't have to fret, I don't have to worry. I can walk in the peace of God. When I am troubled, I'm heavy laden, and I'm burdened, I come and he gives me rest. I rest in him and his works, not in my works. And I find great peace in that, and the soundness of mind that I can walk in the peace of God. Amen? Amen. Now, Romans 12, familiar scripture, Romans 12, 2. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And when you gave your life to Jesus, you were instantaneously changed in one area of your life. That was your spirit man. Your spirit man became alive unto God, righteous and holy, because the Bible says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But how many of you know your head's all messed up? Come on. I mean, y'all just like me. We got problems up here, man. We got problems up there. And my thinking can be all messed up. But God's saying, listen, I want to transform you by the way that you think. By the way that you think. And it's, how do you do that? By the Word of God. By the Word of God. He speaks into your life. And he said, then you will learn to know God's will for you. It's a learning process in knowing God's will for you. I don't want to venture off and chase rabbits too far. But so many of us, we're asking God, what's your will for my life? And God would say, get in my word and find it. Get in my word and find it. Start there. Yeah, but Lord, do I get a red car or a blue car? The Lord says, I don't care what color car you get. I'm concerned about my will for your life, and it's found in my word. Found out God's will is finding out how much he loves you and how much he wants to empower you, how much he wants to strengthen you. How much he wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit so you can be a witness for him and the kingdom's work. Because, see, it really ain't about you or me. It's about the kingdom. So God's will, in a nutshell, is in line with his word. And when I start transforming my thinking, my mind, I can know those facets of the word of God. And you know what? With Kathy and I, we're going to Sherman. God, what's your will for me? His will for me is to walk in the joy of the Lord. His will for me is to continue to follow him and hear his voice so that I can still work in the kingdom. Are y'all with me? What is his will for you? To walk in the joy of the Lord. To be a giver, not a taker. Contribute, not consume. to be part of the body, to encourage, lift up, and encourage one another in the love of the Lord, to do the work of the, in the ministry, to do the work of an evangelist, to do the work of whatever you're called to do. Are y'all with me? You find that in the Word of God. That hadn't changed, right? Oh, well, okay. Amen. So, you know, by changing the way that you think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Man, I want to walk in God's will for me. Amen. Praise God. You know, as we grow in the Word of God, we reach these progressive levels of understanding, and what we do is we mature in our thinking process. Are y'all with me? These progressive levels of understanding. It's just like you didn't get into calculus until you got into the multiplication tables or the, right? You didn't get into calculus until you got through first or second, third grade. 1 + 1 = 4. Oh, got you. You're still listening, okay? So it's a progressive learning and maturing in the Lord, but I also believe that we need to be maturing in hearing God. In hearing God. Now, throw that up there, Carl. Have you got that next slide? I got the test results back from your ear doctor. You're not hearing impaired. You're listening impaired. I think, you know, that's so true. It's not that I'm not hearing and my ears aren't working. I'm not listening to the Lord. See, you know, you could go away from Jubilee this week. You could show up every night. From the first note that sang and played to the last, and walk out of here and turn the lights off and not get anything out of it if you're not listening. But the thing of it is, it's not on God's end, because he's speaking. We need to be listening, right? Jesus said, if you have ears to hear, the man has ears to hear, let him hear. Because see, God's the one that's speaking, and we just need to hear. So I'm saying all that to encourage you in this next few days. I believe that God wants to speak to every single one of us. Every single life that shows up. Every single life that tunes in online. That God wants to speak to your life. However small or large that might be to you. It may be small to someone else, but it may be big for you. Amen? God wants to have a conversation with you. And he wants to have a word for us corporately, too. I believe that. And so I'm going into it saying, God, I want to hear right now, right here, for me, for us. I want to hear your voice. I've gone in with those attitudes, and I've actually had great visions from the Lord. And that's exciting. And then God will take and work that out in my life, because I didn't understand it all right at first. Y'all with me? Oh, okay. So John, the 9th chapter, I want to take you through a couple other scriptures. In John 9, this is where the blind man was healed by Jesus. Been blind from his birth. And Jesus healed him. And so he gets jerked up before the Pharisees. What happened? Who healed you? How did he heal you? And on and on. They're hard set against Jesus. No matter what he does, they're going to be against him. Sounds like somebody else I know in the United States right now, okay? Anyway. So, no matter what he does, they're against him. So, healed a blind man, and they're against him. Look at verse 21. This is the parents to the Pharisees. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. See, these are the parents answering back. They didn't want to get in trouble. And he said, he's of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. Boy, they threw him under the bus, didn't they? Their own boy. So these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Like Jesus was really worried about that, okay? Therefore said his parents, he's of age, ask him. So then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Now I'm going to tell you a little something about my attitude. March 23rd, 1976, Billy and Carol Simmons ministered to us in their home, in their den, and said, "Stan, if you and Kathy are going to start this Bible study in your home in 2 weeks, you need the Holy Ghost." I said, "Okay, give him to me." I had no even idea who he was. I didn't know. They just said I could have him, so I wanted him. I said, "Okay." And I got filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit, radically changed. I felt something bold and something changed, a fire on the inside of my heart that I'd never felt before. I walked out of that den that night a changed man, and I followed Jesus ever since. Now, if someone had gotten to me 2 days previous to that and said, "This is all hogwash, the Holy Spirit don't do that anymore," they might could have convinced me of something, but oops, they didn't get to me in time, and I had enough sense to know that he was real. Are you with me? The religious rhetoric that I've heard since then makes no difference in my life, because I have experienced the Holy Spirit. I know he's real. I know he's for today. I know he's empowering my life. I know he's the voice I hear when God's talking to me. Have you realized that yet? Jesus sent him to be with you, to teach you and guide you, to not only walk with you, to be on the inside of you. And he'll teach you, guide you, show you things to come. He's relaying what the Lord is telling him to you. So I had better sense to know that, man, this is good, this is real, I'll stay with this. That's what this guy's saying. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know where he come from. I've never seen him before. But I know this, I was blind, but now I see. Amen. This guy had a receptive heart. Are you following that? He had a receptive heart to hear from the Lord. Then they said to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered, "I've told you already, and you didn't hear." You weren't listening. It could be like that. You're hearing, but you ain't a listening, okay? He said, "I told you already, but you didn't hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples?" Oh, he was so, oh, that's awesome. I love him. This guy's bold too, you know. Then they reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not where from whence he is." Now listen. They had been studying the Scripture. They knew the written Word of God, but they didn't know the spoken Word of God. They knew the Logos. They didn't know the Rhema that would be supported by the written Word of God. Are y'all with me? They weren't even sure that God could speak to them. They're just like so many other religious people of today. You mean God speaks to you? You mean he doesn't speak to you? If that guy were here today, that's what he'd say. Are y'all with me? They were locked into a religious realm of legalism, and you got to fit within my little world. You got to fit with my parameters to be right. If you're outside of those parameters, then you're wrong, right? And so this guy, and I'm saying all that because I didn't know the ups and downs and ins and outs of religion or church world or church life. All I knew is that Jesus healed my leg that night and he filled me with the Holy Spirit. That's all I can say. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. He's already told you already. Did you not hear? And the man answered and said unto them, now listen, he'd been paying attention too. He'd been paying attention too. He's trying to reach them. He said, "Why hearing is a marvelous thing that you should know, that you know not from whence he is. And yet he has opened my eyes." You're the religious guys. You're the leaders of the spiritual world. "Now we know that God heareth not sinners." Now he's talking about the written word from the beginning. He's been paying attention too. He might not could see, but he could hear. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
"But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." I'm doing all that to say, man, you need to come with an open heart to what God would say to you. You don't set the word down because you ought to be growing and understanding the word. But what God will say to you this week will line up with his word. But be open and willing for him to speak into your life and just come with an openness and say, "God, I may be blind in some areas, but I want to see. And the way I've had an attitude over the years is there's so many things that I'm so ignorant, I don't even know enough to ask questions about it. But God, I want to hear your voice. God, I want to hear. I want to have a receptive heart. I want to see. Y'all with me? And you may say, God, and don't make it harder than it is. Yeah. Don't make it harder than it is. I mean, we could be up here a lot longer about the simple, soft whisper of the Lord when he speaks to his people. Don't make it harder than it is. Just say, hey, does it confirm with God's word? Does it line up with the word? Does it violate it in any way? No, it lines up. God, that's you. Are you with me? Don't make it harder than it is. Come expecting and say, I believe God's going to speak to me. It's surprising to me. Maybe it shouldn't be. But how many people are in church today, in church services, and could say, I've never heard the Lord say anything to me, except that I gave my life to the Lord. Are y'all with me? They don't even realize, and if you think for a minute, hey, wait a minute. Didn't you hear his voice when he called you to himself and told you about Jesus and put that faith in your heart to inspire the hope that you had for eternal life? Don't you realize you heard him then? Because no man comes to the Father unless he's drawn by the Holy Spirit. You had to respond to that and make a choice. So you're already hearing God. You just don't realize you can continue to hear God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So it had been surprising to me because I didn't really grow up in church. I've been in church a few times growing up. I went to a Methodist church a few times with my scoutmaster and his family. Went to church camp one time and found out those kids were wilder than the ones I was running with. Hey. So I didn't have a real good experience about church life, you know what I'm saying? And so I didn't grow up, but I want to come in with an open heart and hear and see God. Don't you? Amen. Okay. Let me move on. Revelation. A couple more thoughts toward the heart of God toward you. In Revelation 3, another familiar scripture, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. What that speaks into my heart is that the Lord is wanting intimacy with us. Yeah. If you would just slow your soul down a little bit, you would find the Lord knocking at the door of your heart. You're a child of God, but I'm saying sometimes the doors kind of ease, swung back shut, and the Lord said, "Up, let me back in a little bit. Come on, let me in." If you just slow down a little, you'll hear him. And he says, if you'll open that door of your heart, he'll come in. He's wanting an intimate relationship with you. And some of you, now I may be speaking to people that are online, that are tuning in online. And folks, the exciting thing about the new norm, like on a Sunday morning, we're having more people coming in person added to the ones online than we were having before the COVID mess. Amen. Isn't that exciting? But it may be someone online that, you know, your heart has closed off and you've been wounded. You've been hurt. You've been hurt. See, many times when people become hurt, and they don't realize it, they enter into a level of bondage. It's a level of bondage where I'm not going there. I'm not going there. Nobody can touch that area of my heart again. I'll never be vulnerable again. I'm closing the door on that. Are y'all hearing me tonight? And so what we do is our emotions become damaged, and then what do? We just function. You push those emotions down, and you just function in life, and then you also guard it that we ain't going there no more. I've shut the door on that. I'm not going there. And Jesus saying, wait. Let me in and let me heal that area of your heart. Yeah, you're dealing with it, and you're functioning. You're getting through life, but you need jubilee in your heart. You need healing in your heart. You need to be redeemed and set free of that pain in your heart. Maybe you've been captive by this thing that's come and challenged you. Maybe the hurt, the pain, the sorrow, the whatever's happened in your life. And Jesus said, listen, I want to spend some time with you. I want to be intimate with you in a relationship that brings healing, freedom, and jubilee to your heart. It's your year of jubilee when you allow him to come into your heart. In John 21, another story where we see the compassion and the love of Jesus, again, is where, let's just go back to verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. This is after the resurrection, at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of the disciples. And they're all hanging out, and Simon Peter said unto him, I go a-fishing. How many times have we heard that in Brownwood, Texas? I go a-fishing, darling. I'm out going to the lake. I go a-fishing. And they said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. That's most of the time my story, but it's about fish. It's not about, what is it about fishing but not the catching? It seems like I'm the fishing, not the catching. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter, why did he say it's the Lord? There ain't nothing ever happened like this before. That guy said, throw it over there, and look, we can't even get it all in here. That has to be Jesus. You ever seen anything like that happen? Okay, I get a little excited about that stuff. He says, it's the Lord. And then Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. Now, listen, guys, if I ever go fishing, you ain't. Okay, these guys, I don't know about these guys, so I'm thinking that must not have been literal. Surely he had his drawers on. I don't know. Sidetrack. Sorry. My humor. Where was I? And did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus had prepared breakfast for him, man. I mean, he was in a redeemed body, Son of God, shed his blood on the mercy seat of God and bought, redeemed the people back. And there he was wanting to spend time with them, had breakfast for them. Boy, if that doesn't tell you that Jesus wants an intimate relationship with us, I don't know what will. Are you with me? If we'd slow down enough to look, we would see what the Lord wants to speak into our hearts. If it's nothing else this week than to assure you of his great love for you, that would be a milestone for some. Yeah. Well, the Lord said, I'm not holding anything against you. Get back up. Let's run. Get back up. Let's go. Walk in jubilee this year. Oh, praise God. So he desires to fellowship with us. And I believe that this week, as we spend time with him, the Lord wants to speak into our heart. He wants to speak into our lives. And, you know, I believe that he's speaking. We just need to tune in our ears to hear. We just got to lean into it to hear, right? And what I mean by that is there's so many noises that are trying to consume your thought processes, your world. There's so many things going on around you that you got to lean into it sometime to hear, right? So, no, I want to tune out all this other stuff, and I'm going to hear the Lord. I'm going to lean in and hear what he's got to say to me this week. Praise God. Last scripture, John 10, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice. No, a stranger they will not follow, but they'll flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Listen, the way that I pray many times is I pray the Word of God. That very thing right there, where I say, Lord, your Word says this, I'm your sheep. And you speak to me. I mean, God opened the door for me to come into the fold. You're my shepherd, and I hear your voice. By faith, I believe I'm going to hear your voice this week. And that's how I pray. That God, I believe that you got a word for me, and I believe that I'm going to hear your voice this week. And I believe that you're going to send me out. And when you do, you're right there ahead of me. You're right in step ahead of me. And all I got to do is follow you, and I'll follow the right path. So, God, I open my heart up to you. I speak into my own heart that I have a hearing heart, a receptive heart, to hear the voice of God for my life this week. Yeah. And y'all need to pray that in your prayer time. And you pray that in your prayer closet. Yeah. And say, devil, you lying devil, you have no part with me. I don't have to follow your voice at all. Listen, I did a wedding this weekend. That's where we were this last week. It's exciting for me. And the revelation that God just brought back and enlarged in my heart about husband and wife relationship, and that the wife submit to her own husband and not to another, right? Well, we're the bride of Christ. I submit to my husband, Jesus. No other is my head but Jesus. No other is going to guide, is going to dictate to me but Jesus, right? Are y'all with me? So when the fear and the torment tries to come in, you need to vocalize it out of your mouth. Devil, I ain't bound by you. I don't follow you. You ain't my head. Jesus is my head. He's the one that loves me. He's the one that has sacrificial love for me. And I am bound to him, and I will hear his voice. And another I will not follow. Are y'all with me? So I'm looking forward. Listen, you need a journal. Men don't journal. Yes, they do. We call it taking notes, okay? You need to, when the Lord... I just take lots of notes when I go to meetings like this. And you need to write down what the Lord says to you. Yes. You need to jot it down. Are y'all with me? Yes. This is pastor giving you a word of encouragement. When he says things to you, write it down. Just jot it down. Even when I'm taking notes in a message, this is just Stanisms, okay? Is that okay? Okay. So I'll put a THT dash and write it down. THT. That's thought, okay? That's my thought. And I'll write these things down, and then I'll go back and revisit them and let the Lord open it up to me even more. Y'all with me? Okay? So I encourage you, go out, get you a notebook, get you a notepad or a journal, and this week as you go through this, I'm excited, looking forward to supernatural things being said to people. Yeah. Revelation, freedom. Have you ever noticed that one word from the Lord can change a life? Yeah. One word. One simple word in due season, how good it is, and it can change your whole outlook on something. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Okay. Praise God. Well, I'm glad to hear, because we're receiving communion tonight. And I want to encourage you. You know, Jesus, his body was broken for us. He paid a price for us. His blood was shed for our redemption, and his body was broken so that we could receive healing from him. Amen? And as we take communion, we step out in faith, say, God, this is my faith speaking. I'm receiving it tonight. Because, God, I do this in remembrance of you, because you're coming back. I mean, you're gonna come back for me. Amen? So I'm going to ask our ushers to come up, and if you haven't taken communion with us, you're welcome to. You don't have to, but the ushers will come up, and what they're going to do is, we found an easy way to do, they're going to just go in and out of the aisles and give you your elements of communion tonight, and then when everybody's received, then we'll just hold on to it, and we'll receive communion together, okay? So, amen. As they're passing these out, I want to say to our online church that is attending, we bless you tonight. We're so grateful that you joined us tonight. And I pray that you'll get excited about what God's going to speak into your life right there where you are this week. We bless you and we love you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. I know our online is off right now, but I'm believing that I know I am receiving a word from the Lord, just a word of knowledge that there's going to be some people that are healed in their heart this week. They're going to be healed in their heart this week. To me, that's as miraculous as a leg growing out. It's as freeing and liberating and miraculous. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for healed marriages this week, healed relationships this week. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm believing for eyes to be open this week. And people, I will say, I get it, Lord. Now I see it. I understand. Scales have fallen from my eyes, and I clearly see, Lord. See great hope and expectation rise in the heart of God's people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Has everyone received that? Is there anyone that hasn't received elements of communion? Okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." You may partake. Father, we just receive. By faith, we receive, Father, that on the cross, and in the atonement, by those stripes we were healed. You were beaten and bruised. You bore our sickness, disease, our pains, and our sorrows that we might be healed. And by your stripes we were healed. And Lord, we speak that from our hearts tonight, that we receive that truth. We believe it. We receive it. And Lord, I pray healing that will flow into our hearts and our bodies tonight. In our bodies, healing. And restored, Father, but also in our hearts to be mended and made whole in Jesus' name. And Father, we receive it by faith. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." You may partake. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Father, for the redemption of our souls. Paying a debt, Lord, we couldn't pay. Lord, by the blood of Jesus, we've been redeemed. That blood has washed away the sin seed in our hearts, passed down from generation to generation, for all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the blood of the perfect Lamb of God has redeemed us, shed abroad on the mercy seat of God. Father, we're so grateful for that we're not the same person. We've been set free by the blood. Lord, we just thank you for that. And we receive it by faith. Let us walk in the redemption that is ours. Let us walk in the mercy that has been given to us and extended to us. When we deserved worse, Lord, you gave us everything. Father, let the grace that is operating in our lives be not for naught. But Lord, that we would walk in the grace that has been given to us so freely, to be who you've designed and desired us to be, to walk in this redemption, to walk in this jubilee and rejoicing. And I pray that our hearts rejoice throughout this week, Father. And Lord, we pray for the speakers this week. Lord, I pray that they have the perfect word to speak into our hearts and our lives this week. I believe, Father, that you've already downloaded it into their hearts. And I pray that they'd be able to communicate that with us, Lord, and that we'd be able to receive what you're saying to us this week. And Lord, I pray for us as a church as we come together, Father, united in servitude, Father, to serve the kingdom and serve you. That, Father, we hear what you're saying to us collectively, but also hear what you're saying to us individually. I pray that hearts be mended this week. Father, I pray that captives be set free and the wounded be liberated, Father God, from their pain and the torment. Father, I pray for the blind eyes to be open. We rejoice in this, Father, and we receive it by faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen and amen. Well, let's stand together. So listen, I love you guys, and hey, if you're going to have dinner with us tomorrow night at 5:30, it'd be nice if you kind of let them know that you're going to be here and planning for that, so make sure that they have enough for you, okay? Because I may eat two of those plates, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be good. Grill Master Bob Haygood is in the house, so it's going to be really good. So come and just fellowship with us at 5:30. Have a good time with us, and then we'll come in together. We're going to hear the voice of God. Now, as you go tonight, there'll be ministry teams down here. If you're visiting with us, there'll be folks down here that'll pray for you. If you have a specific prayer that you need agreement on, just take advantage of that. I love you guys. You are dismissed. Go and have a great night, and we'll see you tomorrow.